Thank you for listening to the weekly podcast from San Jacinto Assembly of God in Amarillo, Texas. If you'd like to know more about our church, visit us online at www.sjag.church. Now here's this week's message.
Last Sunday, I spoke on the topic of His abiding peace. And hopefully you enjoyed His abiding peace this last week. I shared that it was God's desire that we live with His abiding peace in our hearts. We have a peace that this world never could understand. We have a peace that doesn't come from this world, and that is the abiding peace that we have in our hearts, our souls, our lives, and that is what God wants us to live in. I shared some scriptures last week about the abiding peace. I'm going to share them again because they say repetition is what gets things in our heart. And also into ourselves. If you're going to memorize something, you just don't read it once unless you've got the ability to do that. But me, I have to read things over and over, and I also have to speak them over and over. For I want to share with the scriptures, because Jesus told us, because the disciples, He talked to them about the peace in John 14:27. He says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives you. Do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid." John 16:33 says, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." John 20:19 says, "Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled, for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst of them and said to them, 'Peace be with you.'" So we know that it's God's desire, Jesus' desire, that we have peace that's not from this world, but peace that comes from above, peace that can be that regulating factor, no matter what storm we go through, that peace that God gives us. We also read in Philippians 4:7 where Paul spoke of the results of having peace and desire that. In 4:7 it says, "And the peace of God which surpasses all understanding, which comes from having a conversation with God, shall be yours. It will guard your heart and minds through Christ Jesus." And then we were told, "Let it rule in our hearts," in Colossians chapter 3:15, "and let the peace of God rule in your heart." And then we read in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, that peace is actually a fruit of the Spirit in our lives. One of the fruits of the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. And the Scripture says the Holy Spirit does dwell in us. The Father, Son, Holy Spirit dwell within us. And so one of the fruits of that is that peace that God gives us. And then I made this comment, says, even though we may know God's desire for us, sometimes as Christians we are not feeling too peaceful. And that's the way life is many times. And so I spoke last week about worry. And this morning I want to speak about another thing that can disrupt us from experiencing God's peace. And I truly believe this is something that can cause us problems. And I believe it's money issues sometimes. Money issues can cause us problems experiencing God's peace. Did you know it's estimated that financial problems contribute to 20 to 40% of divorces? That means that for every 10 marriages that end in divorce, 4 of them was because of money in the household, because of money issues in their lives. The Bible also says this about money: the love of money is the root of all evil. I had someone tell me one time, "Well, money's evil." No, money's not evil. It's the love of money that is evil. Because see, at the same time, you can be rich and not be evil. You can have money and not be evil. It's the love of money that produces evil people that will do whatever they can in order to attain that money. My friends are among us, not in here, but they're among us out there. that money is an issue and it can cause divisions, it can cause all kinds of problems when the love of money is what's motivating decisions. But at the same time, there's an old song that says, love may make the world go round, but money greases the wheels. Now, I've heard my friend Pastor Billy Nickel use that many times over. In other words, money is a necessity in our lives. It's something that we need. It helps us in those times. So listen, the need of money we all have in common. We all have it in common. Back on the 11th of September, we had missionary Kerry Mauldin, which I always enjoy having him come because he's one of our missionaries that actually we see things that's happening. He's planted thousands of churches in India in this last year. He's already planted over 1,000 this year, I believe, or 1,000 water wells, and he talks of how they're getting saved, and I enjoy him. I always try to put him on an hour limit. We've cut it down to where we just have one song and turn it over, and he still goes over. He's a typical preacher. I love him. He's a good man. I love his wife, Carrie, and Melody, and it's just a wonderful couple. But while he was speaking just kind of randomly, just for a moment, he shared a story of a guy that had ordered 45 items from Walmart in 2022. Now listen to this. In 2022, these items cost him $127. And if you're on that page many times, and I checked this out, I didn't want to tell something that's not true. You shouldn't do that behind the pulpit. So I checked it out, and you know how it is many times. They have the reorder button. He thought, I'll just see what that cost in 2024. The same items that cost $127 in 2022 came up to $414 in 2024. How many of you are feeling it? That crunch that we feel today because of this economy that we're in, that is a huge difference. Right at four times the cost at Walmart, the supposedly cheaper place to shop where you wait on yourself. You'll get that in a minute. There was one guy that was found in the break room at Walmart, and they said, what are you doing here? So I'm just getting my free coffee and my... And they says, you're working. Yes, I do. I check myself out all the time. The place is supposed to be the cheapest, or one of the cheapest, is four times higher than it was back then. Add on electric bills. My bill is... I'm embarrassed to tell you what it is. I need to take an offering. Natural gas bills, cost of increase in rent, city bills, school expenses, rising medical costs, dental costs, eyewear costs, mortgage rates that are higher than they have been in decades, insurance rates more than doubling. Fuel, it's sad to say we're happy that it's $2.59. Clothing is more. And did I mention food, eating out, and groceries? Oh, by the way, when the politicians say inflation is down, they are speaking about core inflation, which does not include the cost of food nor the energy that it costs. Kind of clever, isn't it? When they talk about inflation. You know, as I was preparing this sermon, like many times after being here in a place for quite some time, I get to thinking, I've preached this before. I keep a log on my computer to make sure what I've preached, what I haven't preached. And if not, I can ask Loretta. But sure enough, I've preached a message a while back this year called Living in God's Economy back in April. that this message today will just be a little bit of an add-on to that and what I'd preached back then. Did you know that managing your money can profoundly affect your life? It can. It can give you peace of mind because you're not worrying how ends will meet. Therefore, help to abide in God's peace, in His peace that He wants us to have. You can have debt-free Christmases. You can actually pay cash for things you want or need. Be ready for emergencies. Plan for retirement. Prepaid vacations. Be a giver in God's kingdom. Own a house outright. And the list can go on and on. Why? Because of managing our money. And when we manage our money, it gives us peace of mind because we know where everything's headed in the direction that it's going. It's a wonderful thing to have. And when we don't manage our money, then we have this thing that disrupts our peace. And it's hard to have His abiding peace when we are struggling to make it financially. Money is a thing that is terrible. We have to mess with it, but it's something that we need to handle in God's way. It can even help us in this inflated economy that we're living in when we manage things properly and the way they ought to be. Now, in case you don't have notes from my sermon in April, some of you do, I will give you the gist of my second point, which was last April when I preached that. The second point was His economy can sustain us within any economy. Now listen, the message I preached back then, it wasn't just about money, but it was talking about prosperity, it's talking about peace, it's talking about other things that can help us in this economy that we're living in. My first thing I said is that if we seek the kingdom of God first, Matthew 6:33, if we seek the kingdom of God first, His economy can sustain us. The second thing I spoke of, if we apply His principles of sowing and reaping. And I use that scripture that was there in Galatians 6, 7, and 8. And it's talking about, don't be a fool, God's not mocked. He knows what we sow, and therefore we will reap what we sow. And use that principle. And the next thing was, if we are good stewards of His stuff. You know, the quicker we realize and understand that what we have belongs to Him. Being a good steward of what God has placed in our hands is a revelation that should come to every Christian that what I have is His. It belongs to Him. And then I had the last point there, and this took me 45 minutes back in April, but you're getting it here quick. If we do not grow weary, Galatians 6, 9 and 10, that we do not grow weary and keep going and keep doing what God has told us to do. Keep on keeping on. You know, I have experienced that you can grow weary in many things. One of the things, you know, we meet here on Tuesday night to Vanguard, and what we do on Tuesday night, and it's not just like a select group, anybody who wants to come can be part of that. But I was thinking the other day, I was asking Oliver, how long we've been doing Vanguard, and how long has it been? Maybe 2 years? 2 years. We've been praying for certain individuals to get saved. And we hear God moving in their life, but yet we've yet to see one get saved. And you can almost get down and discouraged because you're praying. But listen, let me tell you something. We don't need to grow weary. We need to believe God is truly moving in their lives, and we're going to see something happen one day. Amen? We're going to see something happen. Amen. And so we will continue to meet and pray and believe. Don't grow weary in doing good, because in due season, how many are ready for due season? You'll reap. Amen? Hallelujah. So that's kind of where I preached back in April. So I'm going into a second point of what I want to preach today, is that His abiding peace will not be interrupted in our lives by money if, I'm going to give you four ifs this morning that can help us. if we make a habit of staying on top of things. If we make a habit of staying on top of things. Proverbs 27 and 23 and 24 says this, "Be diligent to know the state of your flocks and attend your herds. For riches are not forever, nor does a crown endure all generations." Flocks refer, when we look at this, how many we got sheep herders in the house? Anybody? All right, we got two sheep herders. I had no idea. Not very many of us have flocks. But the word flock here can even pertain to cattle, it can, and or herds. Some translations will use the word herd. It can refer to different things. But the lesson here is what we're reading is that it's obvious to us is we must be diligent about the things that we oversee in our finances or things that are under our control. To be diligent about those things and to stay on top of them. That's truly what the saying "stay on top of that" means, is to be diligent about what you have been set under your authority, what's under your household, what's under your management, is to be diligent about those things. Watch them carefully, count them frequently, regularly, tally them up. It's something that should be a habit in our life. I believe in habits, and I believe in things that truly are necessary in our lives. And if we're going to manage our money in this inflated market, if we're going to manage what God's given us, we need to be on top of things. We need to know where we stand. It would surprise you that how many sometimes people run a business and they have no idea what their overhead is. It would surprise you how many churches operate that have no idea what their overhead is. In other words, how much money does it take every month or every week to keep what the overhead is, to sustain that overhead, to where it continually is able to stay afloat. It would surprise you. I hate sometimes, I don't know about you, but sometimes I hate to have to sit down and look what I did last week. Anybody? Amazon. Come on. And you think, oh my word, I'll do better next week. Did you know we live in a world when many people do not even balance their bank statements? I just said something foreign to somebody. We don't even balance our bank statements, nor do we keep up with the credit card receipts that we spend on credit cards. You know, the worst thing that I can have in my pocket is cash. Because I just feel like everybody needs it. I think, well, I know, I ought to bless that lady, I ought to bless that lady, and before I know it, I've already spent it. The best way I can keep cash if I keep a $100 bill. Because I just don't feel like giving $100. Sometimes I've had to do that when God spoke to me, though. Said, give that $100. I think, no, God, it's glued into my wallet. That's hard to get out. Cut my fingernails yesterday. I can't even reach it. But you know, it's the ideal of managing is something that we must understand if we're going to have peace of mind about our finances. We've got to stay on top of the things that are under our control. Under our control. If we truly want financial peace, it will start by a true look at what is coming in and what is going out. What's coming in and what's going out. And that's not a pretty picture sometimes. You know, when I think about retirement, I'm thinking, oh my word, I will not have enough coming in to what's going to be going out. So therefore, I got to work till the Lord takes me home. But the truth is, I can sit down and figure how much it's going to take for me to live and understand whether or not I'm going to have that much coming in. And then if I don't have that much coming in after I retire, I'll be saying hi to you at Walmart. There's nothing wrong with that. You know what that says? That person is examining that they needed more money coming in. That's all right. It's all right. But if you're going to have peace of mind, you've got to take a true look at where you're at. A true look, not a halfway. You know, when I first got my checkbook, when I was a teenager, I would go and I'd get these overdraft slips. I said, there's no way. I've got money right here in my register. You know what? I wasn't keeping up with my checks. Or go to the bank and say, hey, how much I got in my account? And they say, oh, you got $2.95. And I say, all right, I got $2.95 to spend, forgetting that I got a check coming in. I'm just saying, managing, it will give you peace of mind if we manage our money. Listen, when your outgo exceeds your income, your upkeep becomes your downfall. Becomes your downfall. So it's something to take. You know, oftentimes when I have a young couple in my office and they're struggling financially, I'll get a whiteboard in my office and I'll have them tell me what they're paying for cable or internet, what you're paying for your house and this, and then I'll have them tell me what your income is. And then we take that, a true look at it, and they're going, oh, that's why we haven't got any money. It takes a true look. It surprises you what that cup of joe costs you every day when you can buy Folgers and live right. I had to say it. Listen, to manage our money is even more critical in an inflated economy. It's even more critical in this inflated economy that we're in. I don't know about you, but my wages haven't jumped 4 times since 2022. My wages haven't jumped 4 times since 2008. Pretty sure that our wages are probably about the same, but our cost of living is way up there. So we got to make our mind up. We got to stay on top of it. We got to manage it. Our scripture says this in verse 24, for riches are not forever, nor does a crown endure for all generations. What's that say? We need to manage what we have if we're going to have some source of revenue and some source of comfort in our life, is that we must take a true look at it. The next thing I want to point out about being able to make it in this inflated economy, if we are willing to make the needed adjustments to live within our means. Listen, you can look at what you're doing and you can say this, and I understand I got more going out than I do coming in. You can have an honest look, but you've got to make another statement of your life, is if you're willing to make the adjustments. If you're willing to make the adjustments that are needed. It's a willingness in our heart. 1 Timothy 6 and 6 through 8 says this, now godliness with contentment is a great gain. How many know contentment is something that says I've learned to be content? Paul says it right before he quotes or right before he writes Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Read the passage before that. He's talking, I've learned to be content when I don't have anything. I've learned to be content when I have a lot. I've learned to be able to make it with God. Regardless, God can give contentment, and contentment is a great thing. And so contentment is something. For listen what it says, for we brought nothing into this world, and listen, and it is certain we carry nothing out. Well, I've learned that. And having food and clothing with these, we shall be content. Now, I know we need more than food and clothing, but listen, what the gist of the scripture is that we must learn to be content with what we're able to take care of. Have that contentment in our lives. One of the ways we can do this is develop a budget that stays in the black. And here's another thing that if we're willing to make the adjustment, is be willing to trim the fat. Not this. I'll be willing. but willing to trim the fat. What is that? Talking about the things that we do not necessarily need right now in this moment. Maybe when things get better, we can have those things. But right now, we've looked at where we're at, and now we must be willing to do and make this next step is to make adjustments in order for us to be able to survive like God would have us to survive and keep that peace of mind. Back in the 80s, my dad and we got a little buying financially in the business, and I started noticing that his trailer was gone, his travel trailer. And then I started noticing something else was gone. What was he doing? He was trimming the fat. He never held on to things. When he got into buying, everything was up for sale except for his wife. That was the way my dad did things. And it's the same thing, that we learn to trim those things. How many know you can do without some of those things? We can do without the extra car. We can do without this or that. If that says that we need to get rid of that, if we need to sell the one that we get payments on and buy something that we can write a check for and not have to make insurance payments car payments. We can change all those things up. Why? Because it's better to have peace than it is to have what you can't drive. Amen? It's better to have that peace of mind than that. You know, eating out is something that you can trim. Hey, that's our number one offender in my household. Number one, it's expensive. When I go to Chick-fil-A yesterday and I get me a sandwich with a little bit of a pimento cheese on top, boy, those are good. And then I get Robin a 12-count meal. We get two glasses of tea and roll up to the window, and I'm going, how much? Because, see, y'all know I'm pretty tight. And they say $25 for two people? Come on, that's pretty high. That's pretty inflated. We can trim the fat in eating out and even some of our entertainment, TV, movie, golf, whatever it may be. I'm sorry, gentlemen, I just hurt your feeling with the golf game. But let me tell you, we can trim some fat when we need to trim the fat. Why? Because we want to have peace of mind in our finances. Now, if you can afford a golf, that's no big deal. Golf's a good game. There, I rebounded some of you guys that your wife's already talking to you about the game. Trimming the fat. You know, you got to be willing to do that. I remember many years back, early when I was in ministry, we were helping this one lady out every month with her bill. She would get where she would just come in and kind of put it in my face and expect the church to pay it. So one day the Lord says, you need to go talk to her and tell her that she needs to start watching what she's spending. And she was spending $100-something on dish or something, what it was. I said, you need to trim some of the stuff you're doing. We can't pay that for you. And she said, well, I'm not willing to do that. And I said, well, this will be the last time we help you out. And I'm in it. I said, I'll tell you what, I'll go. I'll put a TV antenna up for you. I'll put the pole up. I'll put it up. She said, no, I'm not going to do without it. And I said, okay. See, you've got to be willing to be and take the necessary things in order to have peace of mind. It's not a permanent thing. Someday it may all change. You know, it may change really well when the Lord comes and takes us out of this place. It'll be awesome then, right? But as people of God, we should manage what God has given us. Here's another thing, and I really debated about this one because this is something just totally goes against the grain of a preacher. Give within your means. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 says this. This is the New Living Translation. It says, remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop. This is the principle of giving and reaping. But the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. In other words, you're not going to be able to get if you don't give. I mean, that should be a kingdom principle for all of us, that we learn to give in the house of God. But listen to what it says in verse 7. You must each decide in your heart how much to give, and don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. For God loves a person who is cheerful or who gives cheerfully. And God will generously provide all your need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. There's a principle of sowing and reaping here, of giving into and helping others out in times of need. Listen, this is talking about offerings and gifts, not tithe. Tithe is something that all Christians should give their tithe. And sometimes we should have, you know, sometimes people get saved and they're so financially strapped that they can't tithe completely, but they should be working up to tithing. Tithing is 10%. This is not what the scripture is speaking of. This is talking about offerings and how sometimes we are moved and to obligate ourselves to giving in such a way. And it may come sometimes when we have certain speakers. I mean, it's all right to have a speaker that stirs you up to the cause. Amen? We do those. We bring speakers in. When I was on Life for Loss, I found that if I could bring David Raley and Cecil Colbreth and different ones in on that, that our faith promises would increase. But the fact is, I brought them in to stir up the cause of Life for Loss. How many, I know all of you have been in a service where you've heard a speaker share their cause. But what I'm against is when a speaker tries to pressure you. One that almost puts guilt on you because you need to give to his work. I'm against that. See, sometimes we get obligated to things that we really wouldn't have got obligated to if it wouldn't have been that we felt guilt over it or felt like we were pressured into doing it. Do you know it's hard to be cheerful when you're like that? It's hard to be cheerful when you feel that way. See, a giver must not give out of necessity. In other words, feels forced to give. Have any of y'all ever had experiences with timeshares? Rob and I, we bought a timeshare, and every time we'd go to use it, they wanted to set through another sales deal. And I had this young man, he had the nice shoes on. This is where I learned how to dress. He had the nice shoes on and all this. And I kept telling him, I'm not going to purchase. I'm not buying. And the sales meeting was only supposed to last 1 hour. And that's plenty of time with someone trying to sell you something. And it was an hour and a half. And I said, sir, I am not buying. And my wife could tell I was getting mad. And I'd about had all of that young gentleman I could handle. And I was about ready to lose my Christianity. The pressure of it. I didn't want to buy, but they kept going. And sometimes, see, we feel that sometimes when it comes to being obligated and giving in God's kingdom. Listen, God never wants us to be obligated when we're reluctant in doing it. God has a way. And he tells us to let each man propose in his heart what he's going to give. Not what Pastor Snyder thinks you are to give, or not what someone else thinks you ought to give, but what you feel in your heart that God is speaking to you. You know, when you give what God speaks into your heart, then it's a good obligation. But if it's all because someone's pressured you, then maybe the obligation is not right. And I'll tell you why. Because you are not getting any joy out of your giving. And God's not really receiving it because he knows you're not cheerful about it. And so if we're in it, sometimes we need to look. And also what proposed, when it talks about proposing in our hearts, unless God says and speaks in an doubtful way that I need to give more than what I have in my household, then I got to trust him for that. But when it comes to obligating yourself in an offering, you ought to look at what you can afford. I know most preachers won't tell you this. I would tell you. I've heard them on TV, Gunner. If you got a credit card, we take credit. Come on. Had one preacher, I heard him say, hey, if you want me to rebuke the devourer on your behalf, send me $1,000. We'll take your credit card. What? I don't have the $1,000, so let's put it on the credit card. Well, no, God does not intend for us to give that way. I can tell you of a couple that thought they needed to put a roof on their parsonage at a church. They put it on, and they put it on their credit card and was bitter ever since because the preacher kind of hinted around about them doing that. We need to give within our means. Propose within our hearts. And sometimes if we get into an obligation like that, we need to get out of that obligation. And so sometimes we need to do that. And it may be hindering. When my income falls down to where I can't give what I gave before, then I need to adjust it. Amen? I should get some amens here. Because, see, an offering is above the tithe. And sometimes we need to adjust every now and then. We should decide in our hearts also according to our ability, unless God speaks otherwise. Third thing in this 8 minutes. If we continue to involve God in our finances. If we continue to involve God in our finances. You know, I was thinking just yesterday, I thought how many times David would say something to God like, God, till we go up against the Philistines? And God would say, maybe not now. And then he'd ask him, he says, yeah, David, go. Can I tell you, when we involve God in our finances, it's an amazing thing that can take place. You know, listen, if we haven't been, ask God for forgiveness and start fresh. Amen? I hear some people, well, I need to back pay my tithes. Start fresh. If you got the money to pay all your tithes that you haven't paid, pay them. But if you need to start fresh, start fresh. And that might be something else I'd be going to get in trouble for when another preacher hears me what I just said. Hope Brother Beaver doesn't call me. Start fresh. Let's get a fresh slate. Why? Because God is a God of second chances. God is a God of fresh starts. And God will give you a fresh start with a new committed heart. Make your mind up to serve God with it. Start fresh. Ask for forgiveness. We know that He will. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us from all unrighteousness and to cleanse us from it. Start fresh. Another thing, continue involving Him. Proverbs 15:6 says this, in the house of the righteous there is much treasure. Do you hear that? In the house of the righteous, there is much treasure. God blesses His people. In the house of the righteous, there's much treasure. What? In God's children's home, there is much treasure. Listen, even when it's hard to honor God with the finances, when it's difficult, do it anyhow or anyway. Do what you can. On more than one occasion, I've had people come to me and they've asked me, now, Pastor, I'm fixing to get a pretty good lump sum of money, some over $200,000. And they would say something like, is my tithe $20,000 on that? Should I pay tithe on that? You know what this preacher man said, don't you? Absolutely. Yes. You should pay tithe on that. I mean, if it was $20, would you not be willing to give $2? If it was $100, would you not be willing to give 10? If it was $1,000, would you not be willing to give 100? How many know God is not honoring the amount, but He's honoring the obedience into the giving? On more than one occasion, I've done that. And then I've experienced it even in my own life. That when a huge amount or a big amount of money comes, this preacher still has to tithe it. I'm not exempt. I still give. And so you know what was resonating with him in my mind? What I've gave counsel for others, I need to do myself. Listen, even when it's hard, and sometimes it's hard because the budget's not making things, but sometimes it's hard because the amount, what you might have to give. Honor God with it. Continue involving him in this, because in the house of the righteous there's much treasure. Continue to honor him with what you have. Give him credit. You want to involve God? Give him credit for his provision. This morning I was looking at this jacket. I like this jacket. It's getting closer to fitting. Some of you said, Pastor, you need to get a bigger jacket. No, just to get a smaller body. God's provision in our life. I've seen this. It's made in Mexico. I thought, wow, I didn't know I went there and bought this. But God provides things in our life. No matter the amount, you know, we often give grace and we don't really think about who it is that's giving us that. We need to have that time of involving him, acknowledging him in what he's doing in our lives. No matter how difficult it is and how bad it looks, or maybe how good it is, no matter the situation, whether it's good or bad. God, I thank you for this can of beans. God, I thank you for this wonderful 10-ounce steak. Either way, we provide and we thank God. We are involving him in our finances. You know what grace does? It says, God, it's not my hand, but your hand that's provided. When we go up to the home that we live in, not my hand, but your hand, God. It's involving him continually in your life. Giving him thanks and gratitude for all that he does. Give him credit. I remember one of my favorite Christmas movies is Wonderful Life. How many of you love Wonderful Life? Gunner, come watch it with me. Oh, Eddie, you can come too. We'll have a man thing and watch Wonderful Life. Yes, Clarence. Hallelujah. One of my favorite, when they made the rush on the credit union or the credit store, bank, whatever it was, and all they had left was $2. And they put those $2 in that basket and they all sang and rejoiced that they had that little $2 to put in the vault that day, because it meant they had stayed open further than they needed to. And they were rejoicing with that. What I'm saying today, it's not about what you have that God's given you, but it's about us being grateful for everything that he has put within our hands. Amen. Come on now, give God glory, because that is what it is. Give him thanks. I am not the richest person around, and I'm not the best preacher around, but I thank God for who I am. Amen? Y'all didn't have to amen that first. What I'm saying, have a little gratitude. You want to know who God's going to look at? The ones that are thankful for what they got. Amen? Thankful for what they are. If you're in need, ask God for a heavenly bailout. Come on, ask God. Don't ask the, never mind. Especially go political for a minute. Ask God for a heavenly bailout. Why? Because if we are keeping him involved, he's going to be part of that in your life. Come on, he can bring things that you couldn't imagine. Amen. He can open doors that you have no idea. What gets me sometimes when we pray for people that have been down and out, and they get on their feet, and then God opens a door for them, and the next thing they do is step out of relationship with God. That breaks my heart as a pastor. But let me tell you what, with us that will stay, and when we're down and we need a heavenly bailout, I'm going to tell you, God's got more resources than the United States government has. And I'm going to tell you something else that's beneficial about it. He's not going to charge you a tax. He is able to do this. He's able to bring things. We need to start thinking as people of faith. We need to start thinking of the fact that he is our God. And the Bible says not only is he our God, Father, he is our Father, and he will take care of us. Listen to what it says in Scripture here. Psalms 50, verse 10 through 12, for every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle on 1,000 hills. I know the birds of the mountains and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you. For what is? The world is mine in all its fullness. That says everything belongs to God. Remember this morning, our God is able. Now listen, I'm concluding since I've seen the clock. I debated about preaching this message this morning, but I know I heard from the Lord last week that the topic of money was to be included in His abiding peace, because we know that money issues can cause problems. Matthew 7 says this, chapter 7, verse 7, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who is his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more," listen to what it says, listen to this, listen to what it says, "how much more will your Father who is heaven," Pastor Oliver, you come, "who is in heaven, give good things to those that ask." Amen? Amen. What is that? That's the Word of God. This is the one that said, "Hey, I'll send my son, die upon the cross of Calvary. If you have faith in him, you come into my family." Can I say this morning, I don't belong to this world. This world is not my source. My source is my Heavenly Father. And he blesses in a tremendous way. Every head bowed just for a minute. And say, "Pastor Billy, this morning I'm struggling financially. I'm not looking to bring you up this morning, but if you can just raise your hand this morning." Amen. Anybody else just, amen. Anybody else this morning? Amen. 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 I got good news for you this morning, because see, I struggled with this message, but I felt that God was wanting to speak to somebody this morning and let you know, just start honoring him and what you're doing, all you can, and watch God turn things around for you in your life. I know God can do it. I've been there. Just trust God. Just trust God. I've been there. If you need to make adjustments, make the adjustments that you need. Make the adjustments that you need. I wasn't sure how I was going to preach it, but those are the things that God laid up on my heart to share this morning. So I want to pray with you that raised your hand this morning. But I want everybody to repeat this morning before I do. Dear Jesus, I come to you this morning realizing that you own the cattle on 1,000 hills. I belong to you. My finances are yours. I surrender them to you. I ask for forgiveness. I'm not staying on top of them, but I make fresh commitment to you this morning in this house and ask for your blessing from this moment on into my finances. Give me wisdom, strength, and blessing. In Jesus' name. Father, today we come to you. Lord, you've seen the hands of each person that was raised here this morning. I pray, God, this morning, Lord, that you would touch them. And Lord, that you would bless them. Father, that you would help them to see the way, God, to get their finances in such a way, God, that, Lord, it wouldn't be something that's going to cause a disruption in that peace that abides within your children. Lord, I pray that you'd give them favor, God. I pray that you'd open doors to them, God. And Lord, perhaps if they need, seek counsel, God, that can help them get things on track. But God, today I pray, Lord, that you would help them now as they have made a new commitment to you, Father, that you would bless them. Put your hand upon them, God. For your word says we're the head and not the tail. And Lord, I pray, God, today that you would bless their finances, bless their household, God, and pour your blessing upon them, God, as they honor you with their life. In Jesus' name.